The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon. Are you ready for Double Time with Double D? Go behind the scenes of the NFL and the game with Dave Duerson. We want to hear your words, too. Don't be afraid to speak up. Now, here's your host, Dave Duerson, Double D.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson. It is a pleasure to be with you today to talk in terms of the things going on in preseason. It is football time, and I'm just excited to have the opportunity to chat with you guys again today about all of the various things that are going on across the National Football League. We've got to talk Brett Favre. We can't help but talk Brett Favre because, well, Brett showed up at in Minnesota a couple days ago on Tuesday and signed a contract, and now is going into what will be his 20th season in the National Football League. All sorts of records in terms of continuous starts by a quarterback and any number of other things. So certainly we'll get into conversation about Brett Favre. But some news that just came in, though, and it also involves the Minnesota Vikings. Wide receiver Percy Harvin collapsed at practice some 35 or 40 minutes ago and was taken away in an ambulance to the hospital. Percy had missed a couple of weeks of practice with migraines and was also dealing apparently with the death of a family member. But according to the coach, Brad Childress, this is the first time since Percy was in college that he has been carted away due to becoming lethargic. He had, in fact, passed out on the sidelines. The team medical officials, the trainers, and team physicians worked on Percy for approximately 10 minutes, and then he was taken away in an ambulance to the hospital. So we will be giving you the latest on Percy Harvin as that information becomes available, but certainly our prayers and concern are with him. Also, again, as we talk about Brett Favre, you had three of his teammates who flew down on the Vikings corporate jet, the owner's jet, flew down to Mississippi and spent some time with Brett and Brett's wife and eventually talked Brett into coming back. I think it's good for the game, quite frankly. And I'm one of those who is of the opinion that Brett Favre was not certain what he was going to do. And I think that he's extremely comfortable being at home in Mississippi. He's got the first grandchild due this year. He has spent an inordinate amount of time away from family, as I can attest to from an 11-year NFL career. That's tough duty. And so for Brett to go back for the 20th season, irregardless of the fact that he had his best year ever last year, what a fantastic way to go out. You know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer for certain, and what a way to have exited the game, but on top. So my hat's off to Brett Favre. Now we come up again today. Of course, I've just gave you the news in regards to Percy Harvin. The Vikings are all over the news today. Yahoo Sports, a sports writer, Jason Cole. Has anybody even heard of Yahoo Sports? Yahoo is an internet engine, correct? I've not heard of any other internet engine getting into sports. But more importantly, so this is the big breaking news because Brett is the biggest story right now. So Yahoo Sports breaks this. Not ESPN, not any of the other major sports networks, not Fox Sports, not ABC, NBC, or CBS, but Yahoo Sports, that supposedly, according to Jason Cole, two unknown players, and interesting that they would be, in fact, unknown, have stated that Brett Favre does not trust Brad Childress, and that Childress, in fact, does not have any clue as to what's going on with the offense, and that, in fact, was the major reason why Brett was not looking at coming back to play this year for the Vikings. I have one statement, or actually I have several statements to that, but first and foremost, Brad Childress doesn't play quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Last year in the NFC Championship game, the Vikings and the Saints, it was the Vikings' game to lose. They were winning. They had the setup to go ahead and close that game out. It was Brett Favre who threw an interception that sealed the fate of the Minnesota Vikings. More important, we hear everybody talk about what goes on in Vegas will stay in Vegas, or what you do in Vegas will stay in Vegas. We have a similar code in pro sports. That's particularly true in the NFL, which is what you do here, what you say here, will stay here when you leave here. That's the code of the locker room. And if, in fact, two quote-unquote unnamed players did share some of the things that go on behind the scenes, then that is of an extreme breach. And unfortunately, those individuals will not be quote-unquote brought to justice. But I'm of the opinion, again, that Jason Cole is attempting to develop a name for himself and creating a story right on the heels of Brett Favre just signing what amounts to a $20 million contract, $16 million. That's $1 million per ball game. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Jason Cole just happens to be a Green Bay Packer fan. On hold right now, we're bringing to the phone lines is our legal assistant and legal analyst, Kim Harper. And so, Kim, welcome to the show. Welcome to Double Time with Double D.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
It's always good to have you. And to our listeners out there, our phone lines are open, 888-346-9144. And we definitely want to hear from you. We've got a lot to talk about today, and so I'm excited to have Kim joining me at this moment. How are things going with you, Kim?
Very good, very good. We're in the middle of this school thing. I know nationwide it's happening for everybody. So, you know, but I'm excited about the NFL being back, and I don't even care that it's just preseason.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And, you know, interesting that, because you're correct, that the schools are beginning all around the country this week and next. And my daughter Taylor, she begins high school next week. But there was a report that came out yesterday. I wonder if you saw this. It was in regards to black males and high school graduation, and that only 47% of black males are graduating high school on time. Mm. And that Chicago, only 40% are graduating. Third is right down here where I am in South Florida, between Miami and Broward counties. Lowest rates, 39% in the nation, and Philadelphia and New York are both at 28%. So some really sad numbers as it pertains to black males. But there was also, in an asterisk, which was not reported, that three times as many white males are not graduating on time. And, of course, you know, when you look at the actual numbers, the sheer numbers as opposed to percentage, it's a sad state of affairs for all of our color spectrum. You know, something has to be done about that, and I want to talk to you in regards to the situation about role models and that type of thing. But it was interesting that you brought up schools right here at the very beginning, because that's an article that just came out yesterday. I'm wondering if you saw this or have any comment as it pertains to what's going on in the Dallas area, in the Dallas schools.
Well, I did happen to glance over that. I think I heard about it late last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disturbing. It's disturbing to say the least. But if you look at it from the same perspective of the graduations of the athletes that, you know, graduate from college,
yes,
the fact that they get into the college and don't take advantage of, for whatever reason, don't take advantage of the fact that they are getting a free education and put that on the sidelines, not realizing or not wanting to admit that everybody is not going to be drafted in whatever sport there is. There are 1,500 positions in the NFL, and right now, as of this moment, every position is taken. So all these new guys coming in, you literally have to be blessed with somebody giving up a spot, being hurt in a spot, or knocking somebody out of a spot that they thought they were going to have, because there are no job openings in the NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball. So instead of looking at it as I'm the best thing since baked bread and I'm going to come into my sport and take over, which may or may not be true, but for how long do you think that's going to last and take advantage of everything that's given to you at the time? But in terms of the high school level, it's disheartening because it could be for several things. One is the lack of development in those schools. Public education, and I don't think anybody can disagree with this, is just horrendous in this country. I mean, there are school districts, and I know of several that are school districts where they actually take the time and spend extra time in with their students. But for the most part, there are a lot of school districts where they don't have solid backgrounds. The teachers, I don't know if they are being required to get higher education courses every year, as is required in so many other different fields of academia, whether it's lawyers, accountants, escrow officers. They're required to maintain certain standards, and I don't know that that's being happening across the board in the schools. But also, one of the major things that will help any child become better educated is their family. Mm-hmm. If you've got parents and understand, depending, especially with the high rate of single-parent homes, if your child comes home, and I know you've come home and you've worked an eight-hour day, and you take it upon yourself to distance yourself and go, oh, my God, I'm tired, I can't do it. Trust me when I say, whether it's a housewife with three or four children who doesn't have to go outside the home to work, or whether you are a single mother who has to go outside the house to work and come home and cook dinner for your children, which, that's my situation. I come home and have to cook for my daughter. Mm-hmm. But there isn't a day that's going to go by when I am in that car with my daughter that I don't say, what happened today? Right. How was your day? There are days when I don't feel like it, when the world of 11 or 12-year-old seems to be so small, based on the big things that I've had to deal with all day myself. But to her, that's her entire world. And it behooves me to find out what's going on in her world and give her credence to that. And without that kind of family support, where you have to force yourself to sit down and find out what happens with your children, what's happening with their education. If they're not getting the math, I don't want to be a sixth grader again, but I am. I have to read the books. I have to make sure she reads the books. I have to familiarize myself with the concepts of sixth grade math. And when I don't know or can't remember, I have to go to a teacher and say, what do you expect from her? What is there to do? I have to show up at those parent-teacher conferences. And I think that lack of foundation with parental involvement will contribute to this high rate of non-graduation for these high school kids, especially in the inner cities.
Well, there's no question about it. In fact, these very rates that we're talking about, 50% high school graduation, the interesting thing is that that's exactly the same number that's used in regards to percentages of four-year graduation rates at the collegiate level for all entering freshmen, not just athletes, but all entering freshmen. Mm-hmm. 24% of the NFL players are college graduates. Only 16% have degrees in the NBA. 9% in Major League Baseball, and a sad 6% of the National Hockey League are college graduates. When we come back, we're going to get into some further discussion. We've got a great deal to talk about. And as Kim pointed out, she asks her daughter every day, how was your day? Looks to me like Roger Clemens has had a real bad day today. We're going to talk about that and some other things when we come back from the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Entrepreneurial Insights is your weekly excursion into the world of business ownership. Presented by Sunbelt Business Brokers, the leading business brokerage and intermediary firm in the world, Entrepreneurial Insights will examine critical issues that impact both existing and prospective business owners. If you own or want to own a small business, listen for Entrepreneurial Insights with John Davies, Pino Bocchinello, and Matt Ottaway. Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
A beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to Double Time with Double D, featuring host Dave Duerson. Get in on the action. Call us now at 1-888-346-9144. For Double D, that's 888-346-9144. Or drop an email to DoubleDFans@ddfavor.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson, and on the line with me is our legal analyst Kim Harper, calling from Dallas, Texas, and we've been having a conversation in regards to graduation rates and the number of sad things that are going on in, within our schools and of course, within the sporting world. But the same things that are happening in the athletic world are happening in real life every day, not only in our inner cities but across the country. And there was a survey that just came out a couple of days ago that only 40% of black males are graduating from high school on time. And in a small asterisk, it stated in terms of sheer numbers, though, that three times more white American males are not graduating at that exact same speed. So sad times in the world of academia. And, of course, we put our pressure on the president and on Congress to do something about it. And hopefully at some point in time they will. We've been at this now since it seems like forever, but certainly since Brown versus the Board of Education, back all the way to 1954. But speaking in regards to Congress, Roger Clemens, a certain Hall of Fame baseball player, Kim, was in fact indicted today. It was announced earlier today that an indictment would be coming down, and just shortly after 1:30, about an hour and a half or so ago, he was formally indicted for lying to Congress. And understand that he could potentially be facing 3 to 5 years in prison. And it's likely that this thing will go to court within the next year to 18 months. Any thoughts in regards to Roger Clemens? Because he's down there in Texas as well.
Yeah. I don't think people understand the significance of your testimony in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
When you are dragged before or voluntarily come before any judicial body, whether it's Congress or your local courtroom, anything that you say, when they say anything that you say can and will be used against you, that's a common phrase that people hear, but they may not understand the full scope of what is meant here. I am not sure that he understood at the time when he said it that this would come back to haunt him. It's very different from when Sosa or who is the other gentleman with the red hair who they had that competition, the batting?
Mark McGwire.
McGwire.
Yeah.
When the stories came out that said both of them were using steroids, that's the only way you could have done it, and everybody said, and they both came out and said, no, 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 and Mark McGwire subsequently, after revelations from someone else, comes out and says, okay, maybe I did. Denying a story that came on the news is extremely different from having testimony in court or before a judicial board.
Yeah,
and
here's my concern in regards to all of this. You know, Charles Barkley said some time ago when he was in the NBA that athletes are not, quote-unquote, are not role models. And I've got to take issue with Chuck. You know, I know Charles. We've known each other for years. In fact, when I was with the Cardinals, he was playing for the Phoenix Suns. And we played some softball together, and I think we played against all the Major League Baseball players in a softball tournament. Danny Ainge and Charles Barkley were the two coaches. And know Charles extremely well. But with Charles's comment that athletes are not role models, I have to take exception. And so here's a case where Roger Clemens lies before Congress and takes the attitude that you know, that he can do that because he's, I guess, you know, thinking that he's, quote-unquote, above the law. He's a prima donna. You know, he's an American icon. So perhaps he could lie to Congress. And the message to young children is that you don't have to tell the truth. Then we look at the issue, Kim, of Hard Knocks. And Rex Ryan,
yeah,
and his comment, and you know, Tony Dungy saying that it was not necessary for Rex to do all that cussing on reality TV. And so, on the one end, we've got Roger Clemens who did not tell the truth, and then you've got Rex Ryan, and of course, I believe that you know some of that stuff is of course staged too in regards to you know because I mean you know Rex is all about Rex and promoting the Jets and you know at all costs whatever. But how much is too much truth? And so in regards to this issue of Rex Ryan and Tony Dungy, Rex Ryan says that he says, I've been an admirer of Tony Dungy, and I'm sure a lot of people are, but he unfairly judged me, and that was disappointing to me. And so I wanted to get your thoughts in regards to that whole thing, too, because, you know, again, this gets back to what I was speaking of at the beginning of the show, with Brett Favre. We've got this guy from Yahoo Sports, Kim. I don't know if you were on hold at the time. Jason Cole from Yahoo Sports, which I've never even heard of Yahoo Sports, is quoting two quote-unquote unnamed teammates of Brett Favre that Brett does not trust Brad Childress and that Childress has no concept as to what's going on the offensive side of the ball. We call that the code of the road. And, you know, much like in Las Vegas where, they, you know, what you do in Vegas must stay in Vegas or whatever it is. I'm not a gambler. But in regards to the code of the road in the locker room, it's what we do here, what we say here, will stay here when you leave here. And so I'm just wondering in regards to all of these various things, because they do have an effect on young people. And what kind of example are we setting? With all of these various things that are coming out. You know, we've got one other thing I'll point out to you as well. There's a rookie running back, LeGarrette Blount, who was running back from Oregon, who got suspended last year for 8 games for punching an opposing player in the jaw. Well, he gets into a fight yesterday in Titans camp. Of course, Jeff Fisher says it's no big deal, and I would agree, except it's not particularly bright. So I'm going to assume that LeGarrette is one of those guys that did not get his college degree, Kim. It's not particularly bright to punch a defensive lineman in the face who still has his helmet on. Because that's how you go about breaking your hand, and then you can't contribute to your team's success. So LeGarrette did not show great wisdom in the way he went about his fight and attempting to punch a guy through his helmet. So we've got a number of things going on, Kim, and, you know, love to get just your thoughts on it. I went off on a tangent there for a minute, but, you know, it's across the board. It's Rex Ryan. It's Roger Clements. It's Jason Cole and his so-called sources in Minnesota, right on the heels of Brett Favre signing a $20 million contract. I think Jason Cole is a Green Bay Packer fan.
Well, I'm going to start off with the easiest one, and that's the rookie, Blount. No, that wasn't the smartest thing to do, but what's worse is, you know, that he would continue to do it. It's not like it's his first run-in, and I've never, you know, put on pads. I've never played professional football or college football, but I know that there's a code. There's camaraderie that meets with all the players, and one of the things I know you don't do is punch each other out, period, unless you all have some really big things going on between you all that's animosity blown out of proportion. You just don't do it.
Right.
Even at the height of T.O. and McNabb being against each other, they didn't go at each other. So I can't even chalk it up to a rookie mistake. It was a stupid move on his part because he's playing in the preseason, and you don't even, you know, you're punching out, you're getting into fights with your teammates at this point. So I'm not sure how to say that other than, come on, get grow up. It's got to be more than that. You've got to reach past that. Even if you're pissed off and it's hot and you want to get out of there, you're whatever's going on, get over it. You're supposed to be a professional at this point, and you're being judged as such, so behave as such. So
But the thing is, you know, in the preseason is when 80% of the injuries occur.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys end up on injured reserve and what have you for freak accidents, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, look at what just happened to Eli Manning,
yeah.
Eli Manning, you know, he audibles in the middle of a play. Well, actually, it wasn't a verbal audible, but it was one of those where he could either hand it off or throw it. He decides without any communication to his running back that he's going to throw the ball. So you know, he and the running back collide. Eli's helmet, is adjusted. Then he gets slammed from behind. Helmet goes off. His head goes into another player, and he gets ripped across his forehead. Ends up with 12 stitches. That's a freak accident.
And he won't do that
again. Those things are
going
to happen. And, of course, Eli will be back. But what this guy, LeGarrette Blount, did was just plain stupid.
Yeah.
And it could have cost him his entire season. And on the heels of an 8-game suspension his senior year, you would think that guy would come to the conclusion that perhaps I should keep my hands at my side and keep my cool. But here we stand.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm not sure why he did it, but hey, you know, he's going to learn the hard way. He's going to alienate his teammates, or he's going to be traded, or something's going to happen if he cannot get a better grip on his temp at this point. That's just crazy. Rex Ryan.
Uh-huh.
The thing about Rex Ryan and his thing, I really don't think this story would be as big as it is had he not made the comments he made. You know, Tony Dungy has the right to his own opinion. And when you put yourself out there on so-called reality TV, you're basically putting yourself out there for every time Dick and Harry to make a comment. Had he not blasted Tony Dungy, people would have probably let it go and said, they might have asked him, what do you think about what Tony said about you? But his comment should have been, well, you know, I'm sorry Tony doesn't like how I run my camp, and went on. But then he gives more. It's always, well, he doesn't have to tell me this, and he can't judge me for that. I'm not sure that Tony Dungy's comment was based on judging it. Based on what he saw, he just said, I wouldn't do that. That's not how I handle it. But everybody knows that is not Tony's demeanor.
Here's the thing, too, that since Tony made the comment, right there again in Dallas, you've got one of your Cowboys, a part of the leadership on the defense, who's made a comment and simply said that he, too, thinks that Rex was out of line. And And I do, again, because of the responsibility factor. This didn't happen just in regards to regular practice and that kind of thing. This happened full well and knowing that a camera was in the room at the time.
Right.
Because trust me, Hard Knocks is not sitting in every one of Rex Ryan's meetings with a camera.
Right.
And so Rex was performing in front of the camera. And as such, you know, it is prime time. You've got young men and women watching Hard Knocks and watching everything that the Jets are doing and wanting to someday be in their very shoes. And so and having dreams of playing at the next level. We see it every day where kids are mimicking professional athletes and the prima donna attitudes and what have you are simply a part of that. And so, you know, I think it was correct on Tony's part to simply say, he said, look, not that language is foreign to him, but that there's a time and a place. And the fact that this was a made-for-TV program, it was a perfect opportunity to show everything from the purely professional side. That's not to suggest that in those emotional moments that happen out there on the practice field, something happens and the guy is cussing whatever and he gets bleeped out or it simply comes across because it's made for cable. That's perfectly well and good. But you know, just to unload bomb after bomb, I even find problems with. And I of course worked for Rex's father, Buddy Ryan, who had a trash mouth as well. And you know, quite frankly, I believe was an absolute bigot. But that's not the important thing. The fact is, though, that Buddy knew how to carry himself in front of a camera, at least in most instances. I've used the F word tons of times, Kim. You know, and even more so after I retired from the NFL when I got into the meat business because of all that blood I was around, I suppose. But for the last couple of years, you know, my New Year's resolution that I did for the last couple. My New Year's resolution was to lose the F word, and then I would have to come back, and then and at Easter when they'd ask me what I was giving up for Lent, I'd say the F word. So even for me, it's been a work in progress. But there's a time and a place, and it's my opinion that in regards to the things that that Rex Ryan brought to the table has nothing to do with the reality TV and more. To do with building up antics, but we're going to take a quick break, Kim. We're going to go pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what's going on in the preseason. We're going to talk about some contracts, some holdouts, talk about some injuries and things of that nature, and we'll even get into a little Big Ten discussion. I want to get your thoughts on that. But to our listeners out there, the phone lines are open, 888-346-9144, and we want to hear from you. And also, we're going to get to our emails and give you some perspective on what some of our email contributors have had to say. You listen to Double Time with Double D. We'll be right back after these messages.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers pros together in conversations that make a difference right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to Double Time with Double D featuring host Dave Duerson. Get in on the action. Call us now at 1-888-346-9144. For Double D, that's 888-346-9144. Or drop an email to DoubleDFans@ddfavor.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson. And you are listening to Double Time with Double D. We've got all sorts of stuff going on today. We've got the Brett Favre issues. We've got one of his teammates, Percy Harvin, who I mentioned at the top of the show, collapsed on the sidelines during practice and was taken away in an ambulance. Percy had missed some 2 weeks of practice over the last 3 weeks due to migraine headaches. And it's hopeful that this is merely a pretty severe migraine that he's been dealing with and that they can get it under control. But he was quite lethargic, was having trouble breathing, and his body was shaking. And so certainly our prayers are with Percy Harvin and his family. Coach Brad Childress had commented that this is the first time since early in Percy's college career that he's had to be taken away in an ambulance due to a health-related issue. There are injuries all over the place. Of course, we've got a number of suspensions that are happening, but I've got our legal analyst Kim Harper on the line with me. We were just moments ago talking about Rex Ryan and the reality show Hard Knocks, and Rex and Tony Dungy going back and forth in regards to what makes for proper language. One of my teammates with the Bears, and this year, in fact, marks 25 years since we won the Super Bowl, Kim, in Chicago.
Congratulations.
And we'll be going back, in fact, next week for a golf tournament. Mike Dick is flying us all in for a golf tournament to kick off the beginning of our 25-year anniversary celebration of the Super Bowl. And tomorrow, in fact, I'm actually flying to Tunica, Mississippi for the 10th annual Walter Payton Memorial Golf Tournament. So we will be celebrating the life of Walter in full remembrance of what an awesome individual he was and how he loved life. So that, of course, we will be getting into tomorrow. But, you know, there again, in regards to talking about class acts, Walter Payton was certainly one of those. And so Mitch Krink, one of my teammates, tied in with the 85 Bears, sent me an email saying, Dave, I think that they want to do these reality shows, that when they do these reality shows, some people are going to give you quote-unquote reality. You know better than most, football is a nasty game for nasty boys. Says, I was lucky to play for Tom Osborne and Mike Ditka. Total opposites in regards to their verbiage, but both great coaches. That's from Mitch Krink. And then a couple of others who shot information to us, Kim. Lori Gilchrist writes in and says, I can see both sides of the argument. Ryan has a right to talk however he wants to. On the other hand, Dungy should know what it's like on Hard Knocks. So if he doesn't like that type of language, he shouldn't watch it. Even the article said he didn't watch the show. I do not agree with Dungy publicly making the comments that he did make. It might have been different if he was talking like that at a game and on camera, but he did choose the appropriate place to use this language this time. Dungy has the right to choose what type of people he wants to be surrounded by, and nobody can judge him for that except God. And then lastly, Elizabeth Hahn writes in and says, I agree with Dungy, and Lori, it was on TV. Granted, not on prime time, but it was on TV. Little ears hear everything. An F-bomb every once in a while. F, yeah, I do that, but not when the public may hear it. So, you know, there you've got a number of different thoughts on the issue, Kim. You've got one of my teammates. Then you've got a couple of football fans, one who comes down on both sides of the ledger, and then one who absolutely sides with Tony Dungy. So, you know, it's an interesting dialogue. And again, I think in terms of the responsibility that those of us who find ourselves blessed to be in the spotlight and, you know, and to become public figures or celebrity, that there is a responsibility that comes with that. That's the good news and the bad news. And so I'm a bit concerned on the one hand in terms of Rex Ryan and his dialogue, but then again on the other hand, I would hope that the parents are sitting there, and if there are young, particularly very young, impressionable minds watching this type of program, that the parents would be smart enough to send them into the other room to watch some more age-appropriate television as opposed to Hard Knocks. But wanted to get your thoughts in regards to what's going on with the preseason, particularly want to get a handle as to what's happening with the Dallas Cowboys and with your receiver, your rookie receiver, who's been out, Dez Bryant, and what's happening in Dallas. So if you can give us a quick scouting report as to the Dallas Cowboys, then we'll get on with the rest of the preseason. And I know you've got some other things that you need to do, but before I let you get away, I wanted to get your scouting report on your Dallas Cowboys and anything else that's on your mind in regards to the Big Ten.
Well, I can't say anything bad about my Cowboys. You know, we are doing fairly well. I think the second week and the games coming up will give everybody a better look at how the team is going to shape up. I think the biggest thing for the Cowboys at this point is finding the right mix of people that will click. I think that the Cowboys have some depth and they have some very good players on their team, but whether or not they can all click at the same time. We had when the triplets were there, Troy couldn't get a ring without Michael and then bringing in Emmett. So it's not a matter of having one player, and a lot of people blame Romo for a lot of things going wrong, but Romo just has to find who it is he can get the ball to on a consistent basis to get it there, because he has good numbers, but mm-hmm. It doesn't stack up when it comes to getting you past the playoffs. And I think that's where the Cowboys' biggest struggle is going to be. Not whether or not they have great players and good depth and a good team, but whether or not they can find the combination that gets them together. So if they can do that, then I'm sure that the Cowboys can be a very good contender, at least get to the postseason this year.
All right. Well, it's going to be an interesting year for the NFL, particularly when you talk about the NFC East, which the Cowboys are a part of. You've got the Cowboys, you've got the Redskins, and they of course have Donovan McNabb and the rivalry that goes on there. You've got of course the New York Giants, who believe that they are a Super Bowl caliber team. You know, not to even talk about the fact that the Saints won the Super Bowl last year and are defending champions. And then, of course, we cannot leave out the Philadelphia Eagles. They've got a new quarterback in Cobb, but I would be surprised if Michael Vick does not take over as the starting quarterback by the third game of the season. There's just no way in the world that Andy Reid's going to be able to keep that much talent on the sidelines, particularly with the way the team rallies around Vick, even as recent as last week, with their first preseason game. Appreciate your thoughts, Kim, as it pertains to your Cowboys. What about in regards to the Big Ten and the world of college sports and the world of agents and the legal field? Any thoughts there before we let you go?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to the Big Ten. We've already got a good lineup of Saturday meetings to root on the Badgers, and I know Ray is the Ohio State Buckeyes, but we'll be clashing heads on Saturday because I'm rooting for my Badgers. And we didn't make the top 10, but we, you know, we're ranked 12. So I think the other thing that I'm most interested in is because now there's a college here, TCU. TCU went very far last year in the season, and they have joined the Mountain West Conference.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested in seeing how that conference played out because I never did actually pay attention to that conference, but I will now that TCU is in it. It's right down the road. I love the Horned Frogs, and so I'm going to be a big fan and rooting for them. But in terms of the Badgers, the things that I'm looking forward to seeing this year with the Badgers is now that we have Nebraska in our conference, and they're ranked ninth over my Badgers.
Yes.
I think that Big Red, you know, now we've got three, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Wisconsin wearing red, and I think the Big Red Bowl is going to be the thing to watch this year. I cannot wait to see how Nebraska fits in and makes a statement as to their joining this conference, because we have a very strong conference as it stands, but adding Nebraska to the mix is going to be very, very interesting. So the Big Ten this season should be an interesting mix. It's going to be some great games being played. Can't wait to see it.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it as well. I think it's going to be huge. And Mitch Krieg, of course, played at Nebraska, so he's all pumped up in regards to the Big Ten season coming up as well. But before I let you go, Kim, you know, again, thinking back to this whole collegiate thing and you know, the remapping of college football and various conferences and what have you, you know, word, of course, came out that Brigham Young is looking at joining a conference, you know, with the entire breakdown of the WAC, but that their football team would go independent, the same way as Notre Dame. And the reason I bring those two up is that, of course, Notre Dame has a new football coach in Brian Kelly. Charlie Weiss was fired at the end of last season. Of course, is now an offensive coordinator back in the National Football League. But Charlie pretty much, you know, was doing the Hard Knocks reality thing too, you know, and much in the same vein as Rex Ryan, similar body styles, similar attitudes in terms of being prima donnas. And unfortunate for Charlie, and hey, I'm a domer myself, but at the end of the day, Charlie ended up looking like a clown as opposed to a champion. And I think that's the same plight that awaits Rex Ryan if he doesn't get it done on the field. It's not easy being a player or a coach in New York with the New York media. Those guys are aggressive, and Rex Ryan has laid down the gauntlet that they're going to win a world championship. And if they don't get it done, I think he'll get run out of town on his ear and on a rail. But Kim, just glad to have you with us. If you got any other thoughts before I let you go? You've got the mic.
Well, you know, Rex needs to also remember that, you know, the media feeds off of sensationalism. They are not putting stories on the board that, you know, oh, somebody graduated from high school. They're not doing that. So the more flamboyant he is and the wilder he acts, the more attention he's going to get. So if he does not want that type of attention, he's going to have to curb his mouth and curb his attitude. But if he doesn't mind it, expect the criticism to fly and just handle it like, you know, like one of the big boys. I know his father was a very big personality, and he heard all that language and saw the flamboyance from his dad. But, you know, if that's what you're going to put out there, then you need to understand you're going to get the criticism and put it back. But short of that, I'm looking forward to it. I will now have to not let my daughter watch Hard Knocks, because we did watch it when the Bengals were being profiled, and of course we watched it when the Cowboys. But since the language is not going to be edited,
age appropriate, or maybe the language is age appropriate, and yeah, it's not PG-13.
Just will be a season we won't be watching it so much.
Right, right. Very good, Kim. Well, hey, it's always a pleasure to have you on with us, and we look forward to your contributing again next week. But thank you for sharing. Thank you for your insights, and you are absolutely an extremely valuable asset to me and to Double Time with Double D. And I know that our listeners love you as well. And so we just truly appreciate all that you do to help move this program along here on Voice America Sports. All right?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Thank you. That's Kim Harper, our legal analyst, joining us from Dallas, Texas. And you can hear her here on Double Time with Double D every week. She gives us incredible insights. And, of course, we've been waiting for Gil Tyree to call in. But understand, too, that the Patriots are in and will be playing the Atlanta Falcons tonight. Kickoff is 8 o'clock. And Gil is out taking care of some things in preparation for the game tonight. So it could very well be that we'll not have an opportunity to speak with Gil this afternoon. Also tonight, the first game that's up actually is the Colts in Buffalo against the Buffalo Bills, and their kickoff is at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. So you've got two games that you can check tonight, particularly if you've got DirecTV, the Colts and the Bills at 7:30, and the Patriots and the Falcons kicking off 30 minutes later at 8 o'clock p.m. New statement was just released by Brad Childress that Percy Harvin's condition is listed as quote-unquote stable, which means that there's quite a bit of concern in regards to Percy and his health at this point. So we'll ask all of you within under the sound of my voice to lift up Percy Harvin and his family in prayer. And also, we've got a number of players who have been injured or have sat out for various reasons. Albert Haynesworth, who, of course, for 9 days could not pass Mike Shanahan's physical to participate with the Washington Redskins in training camp, was held out yesterday due to dehydration. And I understand that he's got a little swelling on his knee. No word as to whether he practiced today or not. Sean Merriman, great defensive lineman with the San Diego Chargers, did not practice yesterday due to a sore Achilles. Word is not known as to whether he will be playing in the preseason game on Saturday. Tim Tebow, rookie quarterback and former Heisman Trophy winner, played pretty well for the Broncos over the course of the weekend, but he's missed the last two practices, last 2 days of practice, with bruised ribs. He got a major league introduction to the National Football League, one on a sack and two on his John Elway run, or John Elway-type run into the end zone, which, of course, got the fans all excited. But we just want to make the fans aware that, hey, it's the preseason, and Tim Tebow was doing that against the second and third team guys. But in doing that against the second and third team guys, he got hit hard enough that his ribs are bruised, and he hasn't practiced for at least 2 days. And, of course, I had mentioned earlier about the New York Giants quarterback, Eli Manning, who suffered a head injury when his helmet came off during play last week and received 12 stitches across his forehead. He will not be playing on Saturday. So there are a number of things that have been going on in the National Football League. Brett Favre is back for his 20th season. This year marks 25 years since I and my teammates won the Super Bowl down in New Orleans, 46-10 over the New England Patriots. And this weekend, if you're anywhere near Memphis, Tennessee, Tunica, Mississippi is some 20 to 30 minutes away. It's where all the golf courses and the casinos are. That's where I will be. A number of my teammates will be there. Floyd Little, the great Hall of Fame running back who just got inducted from the Denver Broncos, will be there. Eddie Payton, of course, will be there. It is the 10th annual Walter Payton Memorial Golf Tournament, and they have scholarshiped some 500-plus young men and women to four-year accredited colleges and universities. Also, major push each year for cancer research and for organ donorship. So it's important to all of you out there, ladies and gentlemen, one, that you take care of yourselves and you look after your health, but likewise, that we think in terms of organ donorship. Because, you know, be it that you give blood to the Red Cross or whatever, the life you save could be your own. So just wanted to get that thought out. And much like last week when we talked in terms of the question of can we who man the ship of state deny that it is somewhat out of control, it's out of control. Academically, things are out of control. Only 47% of black males are graduating from high school on time. Numerically, three times more white males are not graduating at the same rate. It's a sad day of, in a sad state of affairs. But we can do something about it. And while we each are still walking and breathing, make certain that you're making your contribution. Again, this is Dave Duerson for Double Time with Double D. We thank our guest calling in, our legal analyst, Kim Harper. We thank each and every one of you. We thank Mitch Crink. We thank Lori Gilchrist. And we thank Elizabeth Hahn for their email comments. Look forward to visiting with you again next week. Until then, stay blessed. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining Dave Duerson for Double Time with Double D. We'll be back again next Thursday at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, for another look inside the game, words of inspiration, and more on the Voice America Sports Channel. Game's on again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.